I want to welcome all of you for this last session of our little seminar called My Relationship to Krishna. I will be leaving tomorrow right after the Mangal Arati for some very nice preaching engagements in Cologne and around Cologne. So I was thinking, what of the many subjects which still come in this subject in this seminar is really most important to relate to the devotees? And I thought the most important thing is how to establish one's relationship to Lord Krishna, even in difficult times. Very often, the human psychology is that when the tests come and when it's hard, then we sometimes do forget to take full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And today I want to talk a little bit how to find Lord Krishna even in difficult times. And I also want to give you a very powerful mantra which can help you when there are crises in your life. It helped us in Germany when 3 months ago or so, the German tax department wanted to sue ISKCON for a few million euros. And we are not in the position to pay it. We didn't know what to do, and some of us got the idea to chant this beautiful prayer, the Nishinga Kavacha. Now it is said in Germany, you have to absolutely avoid two things, AIDS and the German tax department, if you want to live, because they are both deadly. This mantra helped us to get away from one day, a ruin. So I will put this into the seminar when there is an appropriate time. I just wanted to explain why you have the sheet of paper. You will require it during one certain part in the seminar. In the Nectar of Devotion, in the part of Vaidhi Bhakti, we are taught how to use even apparently material things in the service of Lord Krishna, so that we can transcend the material atmosphere and become Krishna conscious. The whole idea of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to use apparently material things like the body, even like paraphernalia which we use in ceremonies, in connection with Lord Krishna, and in this way transcend the material world and in Krishna consciousness. Now, amongst the many things which we should use, which are material, there is suffering is also mentioned. Yes, you can use your suffering to become Krishna conscious. The verse which is quoted by Rupa Goswami, the verse which transforms your suffering into a Krishna conscious experience, is known to many of you, and I would like to chant it with you. I will responsively, like in the Bhagavatam class. Tate nukampang susumikshamano. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipakam kritva kvapurbir vidadan namaste. Jivetayo muktipade sadayaba. Hare Krishna. O Lord, one who seeks your mercy while tolerating all kinds of adversities due to past karma, who always serves you in devotion with his body, mind and words, and who goes on offering prayers and obeisances to you from within the core of his heart, despite all hardships. To such a person, liberation is his rightful inheritance. Now, there are four elements in this verse, and I would like to request the person where I'm absolutely sure that he knows the English spelling in this case to come forward. It is you, Sitaram Prabhu, on which our eyes have fallen. Would you mind to just... it's only 5 minutes, and then for the rest of the lecture you will be able to sit comfortably. So I know you must have a strenuous day behind you, but I do not want to embarrass our very learned Kunya Bihari ni another time. These four elements in the verse are very, very suitable, especially it will be necessary for you to look at them, because if you live these four points, you will become an enlightened soul and eligible for liberation. The first element is to earnestly look for Krishna's mercy. Earnestly look for Krishna's mercy. Wonderful. Your handwriting is blessed by Mother Saraswati. Earnestly. You have written earnestly. It is my German influence on everyone. The second element is very, very important. Accepting responsibility. The verse says, while tolerating all kinds of adversity due to one's past karma. This verse really, this part is very often dropped in Bhagavatam lectures, which I have attended, that whatever happens to you, even your snoring neighbor, or your disturbing person who calls you inadept for Krishna consciousness, not expert or so on, has been created by you. Maybe the person has not been created by you, but the experience is there as a reaction to past karma. This is what the verse says. This is certainly a very challenging aspect. Often when there is misery, we go like, you did it, and you are very bad, and this is, and I'm very good, and this is very unfair and unjust. But is it really so? If nothing is moving under the control of Krishna, then this circumstance is also under the control of Lord Krishna. And you can grow by accepting responsibility. You can shrink by putting the responsibility away. If you begin to look at challenging situations in your life with this philosophical outlook, they become gurus and teachers to you. It is said the Germans have a strange fascination with bathroom examples, and there may be something true, but I will tell you a bathroom example. Imagine you are sitting in the private place. You have just produced the human heap. At this moment, the aggressive smell begins to disturb you. Imagine you go down and This is really uncultured, your smell. It is really, and you begin to lodge complaints. This is an unenlightened behavior, because it was you who ate. It was you who digested. It was you who decided to visit the private place. It is your product, the human heap. So whatever happens in your life is, from this perspective, not at all by chance, but related to your own activities. You might have to learn. I'm sorry for this very, very, for this little cultural excursion into the German way of making analogies. But it is so, it is just so mind-blowing, this example. And since you are an audience who had just prasadam, it is maybe good to excite your imaginations. The third element of this verse, offering obeisances with the heart, words, and body. Whatever happens, you don't go, and as Prabhupada says, no, I get another lord now. This was just too much. Continue to be a servant of Lord Krishna with your heart. That is your thoughts, your words, and also your body. The fourth element really describes the result. Fourth is the result. One becomes qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. With this, I want to say, Sita Ram Prabhu, you have also become qualified to go back to your chair now. Thank you very much. Yes. These are four elements which transform the mercy, transform suffering into an enlightening experience in your Krishna consciousness. I would sometimes, for practical reasons, advise you to, when suffering comes, to immediately go to point two. In other words, reverse the order. Don't point fingers. The moment you point fingers, you will not be able to learn. Keep the finger to yourself. It is said, whenever you point with a finger towards someone, three fingers, see, are pointing back to you. There is some biological or anatomical poesy here in this, the way our hands are made when we point fingers. Of course, maybe a little has to do with a person, the persons also who inflict pain are definitely not justified to inflict pain. They have chosen to be an instrument, and they will be karmically involved if they inflict pain upon you. With this meditation, we do not want to justify injustices. But we want to say that what happens, if you want to spiritually grow, if you have a miserable experience, you will try to understand what it has to do. Then you can change something, because you can change your outlook to the world, but you won't be able to change the world so easily. So accepting responsibility, then going and then pray for Krishna's mercy, and actually do something, offering obeisances with words, heart, thoughts, and body. Mm-hmm. Good. I will now raise to you a question. Why does Krishna put his dear devotees into suffering? I mean, Doesn't it say, Yani kani cha papani brahmahat yadikani cha tani tani prana. Oops. Prana shanti pradakshina prade pade. That is, by every round which you do when you circumambulate Tulsi Devi, your karmic reaction, even the reaction to killing a person, becomes taken away from you. Why are you suffering, Gokulananda? You are walking around Tulasi and you are suffering. What is wrong here? Or we could say, someone who surrenders all other dharmas and he surrenders to Krishna, moksha yishyami mashuchaha. He is freed from the karmic reaction. Don't we hear this? Then why do you suffer, Gaurangi? This is a very good question. Is Krishna not living up to his promises here? Prabhupada, he writes in one purport of the Bhagavatam that sometimes devotees say to me, I thought I should be free from all suffering, but I'm sick. What is going on here? How does a devotee look on karmic reactions? This is a very challenging question which I want to put to you, dear audience. Any idea? Can we please take our microphone and give it to Lakshmi Moni? Why is there suffering for a devotee?
It says in Bhagavad Gita, or maybe it's in the Bhagavatam, that the devotee, he sees that he deserves worse, but Krishna is so kind, he's giving him less. So that's one point of view. Another is that we become strong by going through the process of ordeal. Bhaktisiddhanta said,
we become what?
Advancement is made in the fire of ordeal.
Aha, advancement is, yes, advancement is made in the fire of ordeal. So Krishna sends us suffering to make us advance, to make us strong. Any other insights into this? Our devotee, yes.
I heard one time a very nice example from a devotee who told that when one person becomes a devotee, Krishna take all his karma and put in the storeroom of the karma. He locked it, but he sometimes take some of this karma to teach us something. No? So Krishna looks at the devotee with another, in a different way. No? He just give the right amount of karma so we can make spiritual advancement. It's not like a normal person who takes all his karma, no? But Krishna gives the right amount so we can do spiritual advancement and this.
Yes. Okay, so Krishna gives this karma with like in a token way. A present is given to you usually when it's time, like a birthday present. It happens when you have been born. So Krishna has taken the karma and then he gives you a misery presents. This is what you say.
Maybe it is good for us to grow. No?
It is maybe good for us to grow. Yes. I do not know who has the most urgent answer. Just behind you is a.
There is also Queen Kunti who spoke to Krishna and who said, "By suffering, I am dependent of you, and I remind you very easy." So that's why she didn't mind to suffer, because then she was dependent on.
So
reminding Krishna.
So yes, Queen Kunti, you say, she says, suffering is good. Then I can remember you. Do you wish me to analyze this from Sigmund Freud position, or should I better not do it? Hare Krishna. I'm sorry. I want to incite you, but all what you said is very wonderful, and in fact you have taken a lot of work from me. But there is one reason. I will now explain a reason which is something so wonderful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a little gives one reason why suffering has something good. He gives the reason of the goldsmith. He says the the example of the goldsmith. He says the material world is like an anvil. An anvil is this type of thing, which is used by the blacksmith. The living entity is like gold, and suffering is like a hammer, which puts the living entity into shape. Now you might ask, what in us needs this powerful treatment? What in us needs to be shaped, really? And this is very wonderful. I want to now go with you a little bit into the ontology of sin. The living entity is covered by a layer of avidya. This is ignorance. From this, now when this gets agitated by the modes, desires come. Let us say a sinful desire. Desire. Like, for instance, I'm in ignorance. I think I'm the body. And then I see, let me say, something. I walk by an alcohol shop and I think, let's drink something. I have this desire. From this comes the actual sin, that is papam. And papam has either a reaction which is not yet coming. Reaction which is unmanifest and which will reap a little later fruits, or you get immediately a reaction. For instance, you drink that glass of water, alcohol, whiskey, real English whiskey, or Scottish whiskey. I'm no longer expert. I do not know what type of whiskey there is in the world. So, and you get drunk. This is the immediate reaction. But now, please do not think that this is over. With the reaction comes what is called a desire or an inclination to sin again. Inclination. And this inclination will again bring you to papam, to a reaction, to an inclination, and this way you suffer. It is due to inclinations, or we can say psychologically, sankskaras, which are created when you do material activities, that you always keep, that you remain bound in the rotation of material life. Do you notice this in your own life? That there are these inclinations which are somehow in us. Some devotees come to Krishna consciousness and they have homosexual inclinations. Some have heterosexual inclinations. Some have all kinds of inclinations, and these inclinations are giving them trouble in their life. They come from previous engagement in whatever you do. So these inclination or material inclinations linger on in everyone's life. And Krishna takes these away from us by sending us this some suffering. Because, and then it explodes. Because if a person suffers, he just thinks, oh my dear Lord, this material world is not worth it. It's a natural psychological reaction. I remember when I was a little boy, I was extremely temperamental and naughty, and my father would often come to me, and he would say, I'm very, very sorry, Totti. I have to punish you now. And then he gave me a solid beating. After this, I cried in one corner, and he cried in another corner. But I remember that I was always saying, I was almost enlightened after these solid beatings. I was thinking, oh, no, this is not worth it. I will not do this again. I will not climb again a tree and fall down from a tree. This chastening aspect is really there when you experience suffering. Do you also, can you think of something in retrospect in your life where you feel that you have taken, that you have been benefited by some experience which in the beginning seemed to be very harsh? Let me see how much time we have. A little time, and I think we do now a little exercise for 5 minutes. You please turn to your next door neighbor and or next chair neighbor, and you please explore with him the subject matter of where you experienced some type of misery, which was actually of an enlightening quality to you. In the beginning, you might try to take an experience where you in the beginning even were revolting. Oh no, why me? Me, me, I'm so pious. Why should this happen to me? So we will do this for only 5 minutes. You have to be a little fast. And then I will all bring you into the mysteries of the Nisinga Kavachan. Please do not talk about everything else. Talk about this task, huh? Not about prasadam or so. I can see you're still very enlightened by the experience. I'm sorry to interrupt you so rudely. Maybe Well, you can, if you had no time to finish this, you can certainly find maybe some time during the seminars to meet each other and to tell you the experiences. I heard one story from a devotee from Great Britain. He was once swimming in a, with suffering really in retrospect helped him to change his whole life. He was, he had come from Great Britain for the first time to the Mayapur festival, and he was happily swimming in Mother Ganga. And then he was caught by an undercurrent and pulled under the water. He tried to fight the current, but he was not successful. He really drowned. When he had already lost his consciousness, his friends who had observed him drowning had dove into the muddy Ganga. I mean, it was not crystal clear, but they had found him and pulled him to the surface and to the bank of the river. So this devotee was the first time in Shida Mayapur, and he wanted to celebrate a festival, not his death. he was thinking, why has this happened? Now he was very moved. Then the devotees who saved him said, we were very curious. What did you think of at the time when you were drowning? And this devotee from England, I said, oh, please don't ask me this question. And then again, what did you think? So he felt very embarrassed. So after the third time of asking, he said, I thought of a TV commercial. Spüli makes your hand as soft as her face. And this was revolving again and again in his memory. And he actually understood for the first time that there is great need for him to work on his inner life. Because if at the time of death you think of a Spüli commercial, that means dishwashing soap. This is not a high achievement for a transcendentalist, to say the least. And he could understand how this misery which happened to him, I mean, it was almost death, it is not so easy to have such an experience, really made a very welcome change in his Krishna conscious development. Hare Krishna. I heard this story from Purnachandra Prabhu, and I hope I have authentically given, retold it here. You all know the story of the king who cut his finger, and how this was really all Krishna's mercy. I think it has been told in many lectures in your temples, and you know this, how this cutting in the temple really was the reason, cutting in the finger was the reason for his saving, for his life saving. I would like to go through some examples, or actually through one example in the Shastra, how suffering can help one to turn to Krishna consciousness. Do you know some examples in Shastras where devotees were really put into misery and they learned something from it? Bali Maharaj. Other examples? Draupadi. Gajendra, the Pandavas, Chitraketu, who lost his only son. What a misery this must be. The Avanti Brahmana, Arjuna, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit. You say it so nice, Yadunandan, with your smoky voice from a Spanish tavern. Maharaj Parikshit. Very good. I'm sorry, I hope I did not create a Vaishnav apparat. I meant it is very sympathetic. I want to go through. Sometimes devotees ask the question, why me? I'm really a devotee. Why should I suffer? But look at Parikshit Maharaj. He was the grandson of Krishna's friend Arjuna. His grandmother was actually no one else than the sister of Krishna, Lady Subhadra. He was so dear to Krishna that Krishna backed Parikshit up and gave him such saintly qualities that he could challenge Kali. I mean, if you want to challenge Kali, you must have the personal backing of Lord Krishna behind you. Otherwise, you are a victim of the Kali. Parikshit Maharaj was protected by Lord Krishna right in the womb when he was still an unborn little one. He was protected from the Brahmastra while in the womb. And he was further on informed at the exact time of his death. The cursing of Parikshit Maharaj, which led to the discussion of the Bhagavatam, was really all Krishna's arrangement. Otherwise, the son of a pure saint would never have dared to curse a devotee who is so dear to the Lord. If it would not have been Krishna's arrangement that Parikshit Maharaj suffered the curse or got the curse, he would not have done the offense in the first place. I mean, after he had put the garland, the dead snake around that faultless saint, he really thought, why have I done this? I don't recognize me in this act. It's not me. Some influence was there. We hear from some commentaries that after Parikshit Maharaj challenged Kali, Kali surrendered to Parikshit Maharaj and then said, King, where should I live? You must give me some places to live. And Parikshit Maharaj said, well, go where there is illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. Kali said, you have promised to give me a place. Now you're not giving me a place because there are not such places in your kingdom. Then Parikshit Maharaj thought deeply and he said, go where there is gold. So when Parikshit Maharaj was in the forest, very hungry and thirsty, Kali went with him in an unseen form. Kali hid in his golden throne, crown. So that when he was not received by the meditating saint, who did not really notice that there is someone, for a moment Kali just went like a crown which can slip and go for a moment in the ice. I don't know if you ever had a crown on you. It can happen. For a moment, Kali was blinding his vision and he acted not out of consideration that the saint is meditating, he doesn't see me, but he acted in a hurt way, in an ego-centered way. Oh, he has not greeted me. He has not received me. This is Kali's revenge, in other words. But we understand it was Krishna's arrangement that the crone slept for a while. Here, let us now think about Parikshit Maharaj's very enlightened reaction, and then in the end conclude this session by learning from this reaction. Parikshit Maharaj, after he had returned from the saint and was sitting in his palace, was very sorry for what he had done. He was very sorry. He felt, why have I done this? Then, a little later, the messenger came from the saint, and the messenger told him, I'm very sorry to tell you, but I thought I should tell you so that you can prepare. A curse is upon you, brought about by the son of the saint, who was enraged to see his father humiliated by you. You will die within 7 days. I just thought I would tell you. And the saint feels very, very sorry for this, and we are also very sorry, but I wanted to tell you so that you prepare. So Parikshit Maharaj at this moment could have done many things to counteract the curse. A simple thing when you are cursed is to do a yajna, give charities in case you are ever cursed. It was known to him. It's a simple thing which everyone of the Vedic civilization knows. Parikshit Maharaj would most properly not have taken to this means. You can also chant the Narayan Kavacha prayers. That is also, he also didn't do it. He would have turned to Lord Krishna because he is a pure devotee. But he thought, no. This misery, this curse which is upon me, is sent by Lord Krishna. It is God sent. And in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is said how he reacted. Please marvel about this enlightened response to suffering. I took this curse as most welcome. By this device, Sri Vasudev, the supreme director of consciousness, was dragging me out of the blind well of my home and directed me to decide to fast till death at the banks of the celestial Ganga. Parikshit Maharaj could have said, by this device, Krishna took me out of my life situation. But he addressed Lord Krishna as Vasudev, he who directs everyone's consciousness, the consciousness of the saint, the consciousness of his boy, Sringi, and the consciousness of everyone here. He understood, in other words, that he really, that Krishna had brought the suffering upon him by using this situation as an instrument, by using Sringi, the boy saint, the son of the saint, as an instrument. And he prayed a beautiful prayer, which I would like you to repeat after me in Sanskrit. I will first say it in English so you can see if this is proper, this prayer. I bow down to him, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of causeless mercy. The English is Krishnam Pranamya Nirupadi Kripakaram Tam. I bow down to him, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of causeless mercy. Please, when you suffer next time, say this prayer. I bow down to you, Krishna. the reservoir of causeless mercy. And you will see how this experience of suffering will be very enlightening. What will happen is, I want to say it again, because this is really such an important point. This is made by Sanatana Goswami. That the suffering, the bad activity, or the activity, the papam, which brought about the suffering, has been done by you, and now it is a parapta karma. The reaction is manifest as suffering. By this suffering, I would want to explain it more clear. Papam brings parapta karma, or the reaction. If this is a miserable reaction, it will destroy this kutam, the mentality to sin again. Krishna will send you your reaction as a token gift to directly attack. Here comes the suffering. the kutam, so that it explodes. Bang! I don't want to sin any longer. It falls off a carefully directed bomb, which destroys your sinful mentality, which is a result of sinning again and continuing this circle. I'm sorry, I'm so excited about this that I fear I have not explained it properly. Am I clear? After each material activities, we have an inclination to do it again. In Russia once I was asked, it was in Riga, what do you have about enjoyment in the material world? This fulfills us. I said, I would have nothing against it if it would fulfill us. But the enjoyment creates always a second, a desire which is double as strong to enjoy again. Therefore, those who are clever don't look very much the kami movies, because you will not, it doesn't work. Oh, I see now some interesting movie and now I'm satisfied. I'm quenched for a year. The more you enter into material activities, the more you want to have of it. Those who are clever observe regulative principles of freedom, because if they don't and just let go of the senses, the desires will become stronger and stronger and stronger. Those who are intelligent know that every material action increases the desire to do it again. Hare Krishna. So Krishna needs to take care of this mentality. Kutam it's called in Sanskrit. And therefore gives us suffering. This is the explanation, which I think is very nice. Sanatana Goswami's explanation. So for the end, before we do our anti-suffering method, in this lecture I also have a strong anti-suffering mantra. It's not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna is really the thing. I want to ask all of you, what enlightened attitudes could we take towards suffering? Please think carefully of your responses, because they will go on the tape for the posterity. Next time you suffer. There is a question first to this. Yes, let us first address the question. You want to, it's not clear. It's not clear. Okay. Thank you very much. When you do a sinful activity, a papam, this creates a reaction. Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. No, please. I'm so eager that you understand this. That I'm totally in this. So that you don't think this suffering is meaningless. And no, I will leave Krishna consciousness when I suffer a little. You should see it as mercy. So my question to you is now, what attitudes, enlightened attitudes, could you take towards suffering? The question is maybe not so clear. I'm sorry. I will ask it more. Try to answer it more clearly. We suffer in Krishna consciousness. What should be our reaction? Yes, with this concept, tolerate. Gratefulness.
To be more compassionate to others who are suffering?
This is on the social level. We should understand I'm suffering and others are also suffering. Let me be more compassionate. Mm-hmm. Correct ourselves. Understand it's a test, yes?
Buddha, he said that the suffering is an indication you do something wrong. So you have to meditate on why I'm suffering, what I've done wrong, and then try to
find out, yes,
and then resolve the way of acting, then that you don't act anymore in that way.
Yeah.
In
In the Bhagavad Gita, it's also said that happiness and distress, they come and go. So we can think, now I'm distressed, then I'll be happy. And also, suffering is a reaction of enjoyment. So, you know, first we want to be happy in a material way, but then also material distress comes.
Yes. Thank you very much. Here's some more by our devotee from... what is your name again, please?
Govardhan Puja.
Govardhan Puja Prabhuji. Yes.
Also, one reaction should also be to take refuge in the holy names and pray to Krishna.
Take refuge in the holy name
and
pray to
Prabhupada's
Krishna.
Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
More attentively.
Take shelter, huh? Yes. Understand, this is my only shelter. Yes. Jai Gopal.
Try to practice the verse Brahma speaks in the 10th canto, in the 14th chapter, verse 8, Tatinukampam Susamikshamano.
Yes, this verse, which Sitaram has written down, try to practice it. I really want to encourage all of it, Jadunandan Prabhu.
Also take it as an opportunity to show loyalty to Krishna.
Take it as an opportunity to show loyalty to Krishna. Thank you very much. Like Srila Prabhupada has said, I found the quotation. We should not say, if he neglects me, then I'll reject him. I'll be my own God, or I'll get another Lord. This we should not say. Yes. I get another Lord.
We can also see it as an opportunity to develop a stronger desire to get to go out of this material world.
Yes, we can correct our mentality and see it as an opportunity. This is not too much. I want to go back to Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. You actually have such nice responses. Thank you very much. It's very.
In the lechture with Brash Bihari Prabhu, we had this. Theory of relativity, that you have one problem, but in 1 year from now, then it will probably resolve into much lesser problem.
All things must pass. Thank you very much. I've written down, we can learn tolerance. In the mood of a devotee, we can say, I deserve to suffer much more. By developing this type of tolerance, you go to really into the opposite, opposition to material life. In material life, when you suffer, you immediately want to make adjustments and get totally lost in adjustments and defense. And it can be a costly affair to defend yourself. You lose many, many years to do this. But you say, I deserve much more tolerance. You can learn to prove your loyalty by not taking shelter somewhere else. And you can understand it's a token reaction. It came just in time. It's a present. And you should take also responsibility. Brihaspati is interesting. The most greatest intellectual genius of this verse comes to Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit. After Parikshit Maharaj has left the body, his son, Maharaj Janamejaya, is so angry, not at only one snake, but at all the snakes, that he decides to take revenge. Not at one snake, but at all the snakes. He makes a mystical yakya, which begins to pull all the snakes from wherever they happen to be, in an almost magnetical way, into the open mouth of the Yajnakund. All the snakes of the universe come raining down and become devoured. So at this moment, Brihaspati comes and says, stop. You think the snake is the cause of your father's death. This is not right. He says, the life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, a king, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress. This is such an interesting verse that I would request you to read it in your own reading time. You will find it in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 6th chapter, text 25. 12:6:25. He says, every one of us is really responsible. I want to conclude this section by telling you a very nice story from Mahabharata. Some of you might have heard it already. It's about a woman who, an elderly woman who loses her one and only child. She's in at the house and she sees how the villagers bring her dead son on a stretcher to her. Imagine a mother seeing her son dead on the stretcher. The son is bitten by a snake while he was walking in the forest. She cries and cries, and a little later, a hunter comes. The hunter pulls behind him a net, and in this net there is a huge snake struggling to become free. The hunter says, "Mother, I have found the snake who killed your son. I walked in the forest and I saw how your son was passing a tree, and then from a hole in the tree the snake came and bit him. I have put smoke into the hole, and now then the snake had to come out to not be suffocated, and I've captured him. Here he is, and here is a knife. Take revenge. Kill the snake as slow as you wish." The old lady begins to think and says, "I'm not sure that the snake is the cause of my son's death." "Yes, yes, yes," says the snake. "I'm certainly not the cause of the death of the snake." Arjunaka, the hunter, violently interrupts the snake. "Shut up! I saw you in action." She asks, "Mother, why are you not sure? You can see at the foot there are the bites of the snake, at the foot of your son." "No," said the old widow, "it must have been death itself who was the cause. Let us call death." This is a Mahabharata story. Death is summoned and appears in his terrible form, Mrityu, and also awe-inspiring form on the scene. "Are you the death? Are you the cause of the death of my son?" asked the old lady. "No," said Death. "I can't do anything when it's not the time for someone to die. So often I came when people were in life-threatening situation, thinking it was my time, but I was sent away and they still live. Kala is the cause of death." Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Kalosmi, I am time which devours all beings." The widow says, "I really don't know if this is true. Let us call Kala then." So they call Kala, who comes. It must be an awe-inspiring personality. And Kala is asked, "Are you the cause of the death?" Kala says, "No, I'm not. What can I do if it's not someone's destination, someone's karma?" "Ah," says the old lady, "yes, my son was a rascal. It was his karma. He inflicted suffering upon others. Therefore, he had to be killed like this." She is very satisfied. cries for her son, arranges for a funeral, and so on. What an enlightened old woman. Please, my dear devotees, take this with you from this lecture. Whatever happens to you, try to see Krishna behind it, who gives you a token of your karma to enlighten you. Now I want to do one last thing with all of you. We still have a little time. I want to request you to live this verse by, first of all, accepting responsibility, earnestly look for Krishna's mercy, and then offer obeisances with words, heart, thoughts, and body to Lord Krishna. You will see your whole life will change to the better. With my lecture today, I didn't want to say that injustices which are there in the world should not be treated. And ISKCON, our GBC body, is very, very much eager and really racking their brain. I had a very nice discussion today with one GBC member who told me how to make ISKCON a better place to live for its members. This discussion is also very important. But in my lecture, I have not addressed this point. Now, for the close, I would like to give you a little tool what to do when suffering is there and you feel that this misery is harder than you can take it and you want to avert the suffering a little. There is a very nice and powerful mantra. I have given my sheets away and I need also a sheet, which I would like to chant with all of you. It will. This is the very famous Nrisimha Kavacha Stotram, which has issued from the mouth of Prahlad Maharaj. If you want to chant this mantra with full benefit, you need to know three little things in advance. Before you chant it, you must know what you chant it for. This mantra, it said, is good for, it takes care of material and spiritual things. Let us say you have lost so much Lakshmi, this is a material concern, and you would like Lakshmi to come. Devotees have done this in Germany and become rich like anything. It's really, we just got a couple of millions because of this. You might say, well, this is pure bhakti which you are now spreading, or is this Mishra bhakti? It is. I would say it's better if you just take this mantra and remain a devotee. I can't really. The Nrisimha Kavacha said this mantra can be chanted against enemies in battle, for instance. When you are in a battle and you want to finish your enemies. I really think that as devotees we don't do these things, really. It is said it is chanted to protect your whole body. Maybe you go into a country where there's war and preach there, then it will work very nicely. Mostly we chant it because of spiritual things. Lord Nrisimhadev is worshipped by us devotees so that we become free from the obstacles on the path of bhakti. So before you chant it, it's good to fix the sankalpa in your mind. What do you wish to attain? The third thing which you can do is, or which is advised, before you chant it, you should meditate about Lord Nrisimhadev in your heart, so that you're not just moving the lips. You follow? It is called a dhyana, a meditation. And the third thing which you should do is offer a little puja to Lord Nrisimhadev with a minimum of two things. If you really want to do it very nice, like an incense, you can take a flower, or these are two things, or incense is always available, and the light is very nice. So offer this and then chant this powerful mantra. So I want to encourage you now that you chant this mantra. I will teach you how to chant this all together so that you know how to do it. And this is a gift to you. You can take it home. And first of all, you can please chant it, fix a sankalpa in your mind. Why do you chant this? And I will chant it so that Burijan gets his visa for India. Burijan Prabhu, he requested me for some help, and this is what I will do for him today. and that the obstacles in the bhakti are removed from my heart. And you should also fix in your mind the beautiful form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. The translation of this Nrisimha Kavacha says, one should meditate on Lord Nrisimhadeva, the Lord of the universe, seated upon a golden throne. You can meditate, you can think how he is dressed in spotless yellow garments, which exactly resemble molten gold. And you must seat Lord Nrisimhadeva upon the lotus of your heart. Then we go on. So I will do the steps with you in a moment. But I want to first say, I will chant the first mantra alone so that you get the sound of the mantra. And then I request you to that we chant it all together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so on. It will be taking us exactly 2.5 minutes. So may I guide you in these steps. First of all, please think of a form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Think of him, place him in the area of your heart. Maybe the Mayapur Nrisimhadeva. Maybe a picture which you like. Maybe in a peaceful mood or an angry mood. Maybe with Lakshmi. Now you please say what you want to, what you request the Lord. Why you chant this mantra? It would be very good if you have a spiritual motive. This is called the Sankalpa. Nrisimha kavacham vakshe pralode noditam pura sarva rakshakaram punyam savopatravanashanam. Please. Nrisimha kavacham vakshe pralode noditam pura sarva rakshakaram punyam savopatravanashanam. Sarva sampatkaram chaiva svaga moksha pradayakam tyatva nishingham devesham hema singhasanastitam vrivittasyam trinayanam sharat indu samaprabham lakshmya lingita vamangam vibhuti virupashritam Chaturbhujam kumalangam svanakundalashobitam sarojashobitoraskam ratnakeyuramutritam taptakanchanasankasam pita nirmalavasasam indradisuramolishtas purang manyikyadiptibi Virajita padadvantvam shanka chakradi hetibhi karut mata cha vinayat stuya manam mudanvitam svahrit kamala sangvasang kritva tu kavachang patet nishingho me shirapatu loka rakshata sambhavaha sava gopi stambhavasa palang me rakshatu janim nrishingho me drishopatu somasu yakyo chanaha smitang me patu nihari muni vayastuti priyaha nasang me singha nashastu mukam lakshmi mukapriya sarva vityadi papatu nrishingho rasarang mama Vaktram padvindu vadanam sada pralada vandita Nishingha patu mekantam skando bobritanantakrit Divyasta shobita buja Nishingha patu me bujo Karo me deva vadado Nishingha patu sarvataha Hridayam yogi sadhyascha Nivasam patu me hari Madhyam patu hiranyaksha vaksha kukshi vidadanaha nabing me patu nihari svanabhi brahma sangstuta brahmanda kotaya katyang yasya so patu me katim guyang me patu guyanam mantranam guyarupadrik Uru mano bhava patu janu ni nararu padrik jange patu dada bhara hata yoso nrikeshari sura raja prada patu pado me nirahishvaraha sahasra shesha purushaha patu me sarvashashtanom Mano grapu vata patu Mahavira grajognita Mahavishnu dakshinetu Mahajvalastu nairita Paschime patu sarvesho Dishime savato muka Nishingha patu vayavyam Somyam bhushana vikraha Ishanyam patu badrome Sarva mangaladayaka Sangsara bayata patu Mrityo mrityor nikeshari Idang nishingha kavachang Pralada mukamanditam Bhakti manya pate naityam Sarva papa pramuchyate Putra vandana van loke Dirgayo upajayate Yang yang kamayate kamang Tam tam prapnotya samshayam Savatra yayam apnoti Savatra vijayi bhavet Pumyantariksha divyanam Grahanam vinivadanam Vrishikogara sambhuta Vishapaharanam param Brahma rakshasa yakshanam Durotsaranakaranam Puje vadala patreva Kavacham likitam shubham karamule dritam yena shibyeyu karma siddhayaha devasura manushyeshu svam svam eva jayam labet eka sandhyam trisandhyam va yapaten niyato naraha sarva mangala mangalyam buktim muktim cha vindati tvatrim shati sahasrani Patet shudatmanam nrinam kavachasyasya mantrasya mantrasiti prajayate anena mantra rajena kritva basma birmantranam tilakam vinyasetyastu tasya graha bayam haret trivaram japamanastu tatam baryabhi mantra cha Nasyaset yo naro mantram nrishingha dhyanam acharet Tasya roga pranasyanti yesha shulgukshi sambhava Garjantam gajajantam nicha bhuja patalam Spotayantam hatantam rupyantam tapayantam Divi bhuvi ditijam kshepayantam shipantam Grandantam roshayantam Dishi dishi satatam Samharantam barantam Vikshantam punayantam Karanikara shatair Divyasingham namami Divyasingham namami Divya Singham Namami Iti Sri Brahmanda Purane Praladoktam Sri Nishingham Kavacham. It's the Nishingha Kavacham from the Brahmanda Purana. It has been spoken by Lord Nrisimhadev. I really did not bring out my point, and I feel I really need to correct an impression which I have wrongly